This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. With us is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. You can find Joe McKenzie online at rippleconnects.com or by phone at 763-438-1621. Good morning, Joe McKenzie, and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. You know, our show is geared for baby boomers, those who love them and those who are taking care of their parents and even taking care of some younger ones while they're still trying to navigate the workplace. And then eventually, the time comes when our baby boomers are going into retirement. A lot of people who are born in the 50s, mid-50s, late-50s are starting to retire. And as we do that, we're talking today about coping with the loss of your work identity in retirement. And you would think, Joe McKenzie, that going into retirement would be a really joyful time for a lot of people. They get to leave work behind and take on a new role, and that is maybe that role is doing nothing. But as I understand it, you're telling us that some retirees have they experience some type of loss in regards to their work identity. What do you mean the loss in their work identity?
Well, often, you know, much of our work is taking place with our careers. So if I retired someday and I identified as a nonprofit leader here in the Twin Cities, and then the next day and I'm retired and I don't have that same feeling or purpose or structure or those same people that I could help or reach out to, I may be experiencing that loss. And I don't think I would be alone. I think a lot of people look forward to retirement, but that work identity is so strong. You get to see the direct actions you take and the results that you've driven, and then boom, there's no structure. There's no results like you had. You feel like you've lost a big part of your identity. Now I'm neighbor Joe. I'm you know, volunteer Joe. I've lost a big part of my identity. And one of the things that I wanted to address this year in the middle of pandemic was some healthy ways to go about, you know, aging, how to go into retirement years and just have that purpose, that community engagement, that multi-generational engagement. But yes, Freddie, I do think many people suffer from some kind of loss after they leave the workforce.
It sounds like, and we're talking with Joe McKenzie this weekend, we're talking about coping with loss of your work identity in retirement. It sounds as if some people who are experiencing this loss may not have a plan as they go into retirement. They may have a job, but they may not have a plan.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of people. Yeah, once I retire, I'll do this. Well, what they just told me is that they don't have a plan. They may have some general idea of a plan, but many of them may not be able to put that plan in place too long. And a lot of this loss occurs just the first couple of years of leaving the workforce. So having some kind of idea where you're going to go, you know, it could be as simple as just bridge employment, that job that helps you ease into retirement. Mm-hmm. Okay. It may not be full time. We've talked about the job sharing arrangement here on New Beginnings in the last couple of years, right, Freddie? Maybe I'm tired of working 40 hours, but maybe I could pivot to a job sharing arrangement where two employees hold on one job. That might be a way to help you ease into retirement, or just bridge employment so you still have that structure, somewhere to go and help people. You know, I've told people that I work on a 100-year-old family farm in the perennial area on Sundays because I like being around people. I like being outside. I like helping people. That might be an example of my own bridge employment, going from a nonprofit leader to still having that look forward to role. And I don't lose my identity or that structure or those people that was so much of my life. I replace that or I find new people. We don't want isolated people. We want people going into retirement connected to a cause or new sets of people or new people that they can help. That helps with our health as we age. And that's why I'm bringing it forward today. I think many people do not plan ahead. They wait till they get to the finish line, and then I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm here to say that there's options now that you can start planning for, just like a retirement plan financially. Think about this differently. Think about what are you going to do on day one of your retirement years. Yeah, let's take some time off. I'll give everybody that. But if there's an opportunity for you to transition to something different, you know, I think everybody should at least consider that option.
So we're talking about coping with the loss of your work identity in retirement. Could that something different to establish or expand on an identity involve volunteering?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great way to that could be. Some people consider volunteering their work. They may not be getting paid, but think about it, Freddie. Maybe you show up somewhere once a week. You have a task. You're around like-minded people. You're helping others. You have structure. You're not isolated. What a great way to almost reimagine your identity. Now it's your volunteer identity. Now it's your community or your community leader identity. That filled the gap of your work identity, right?
Exactly.
No gap. You filled it. You filled it with something else. You may not get paid, but boy, think of the positive outcomes of having that community engagement, being around like-minded people, having that structure, having contacts and connections with others, helping others. That will help offset that loss of work identity.
So how important is it to have an identity in retirement?
I think it's critical because we have an identity for the majority of our lives. We want to remain relevant to others, right?
Yes.
So that identity, if it's mentoring or doing, you know, working with people to help start their own business or just, you know, doing outreach, that identity is important at any age. I know my friend Elsie, who is going to be turning 100 here in the next year.
Wow.
One of her purposes is that she teaches me history. She teaches me what it was like in World War II and the 50s. And she shared, you know, Depression era canning recipes. Her identity is that she's kind of that liaison to teach me history that I wasn't even born yet. And I know we talk every week, and I value those conversations on the phone with her. I know that that's one of the things that helped her, that identity is she's an educator. She helps me. She's talked to my children. What a great an example of having that identity well into your retirement year.
Interesting. Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie about coping with the loss of your work identity in retirement. And if nothing else, the COVID-19 of 2020 and 21 has taught us how much we need to be connected to each other. There's a sense of loss when we're not connected. So the topic today is so apropos to establishing a way to stay connected with others into retirement, Joe McKenzie.
Absolutely. If we want to approach our retirement years, yes, we've got that financial ability to retire, but you know, a lot of that meaningful part of our lives are the connections, the people we can help, the people we can stay connected to, and to remove any talk of isolation. And starting early in your retirement years, finding those bridge employment opportunities or those meaningful regular volunteer opportunities, and just having daily interactions with others replaces a lot of the people that you talked with on a daily basis when you were in the workforce. And that will offset that loss of that work identity that you had for so many decades.
Very interesting. So the key points that you're talking about today is, number one, consider bridge employment. It could be job sharing. There are a lot of there's scarcity in finding the right people these days.
Absolutely. Yep.
Rediscover your career passion. Maybe it's time to write that book, Joe McKenzie.
Definitely. No doubt.
And also, you mentioned, and you keep talking about it because it's so important, keeping structure in daily interaction with others, having that human connection.
Yes. That's a big piece of this that helped you to cope with that loss of that work identity that you had for 40-some years.
I think a big takeaway this weekend also is to find something well before we retire, maybe a volunteer opportunity, But plan ahead. As you mentioned, you do financial planning. How about emotional planning for that work identity?
Yes, exactly. You talk about writing a book, Freddie. Start writing the next chapter of your retirement year's career.
Ah, well said. Joe, you do some fine work at Ripple Connect, sir.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to the most listened to program on the weekend, New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
For fully vaccinated people, if you've been around someone who's had coronavirus, you don't need to stay away from others anymore or get tested unless you develop symptoms. But if you live in a group setting or around someone who has coronavirus, and by group settings, we mean a group home, congregate care facilities, you know, someone who's in a correctional institution, you should still stay away from others for 14 days and get tested, even if you don't have any symptoms.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Today's point of focus is power, that inner quality that directs our thoughts, words, and actions. Did you know that every time you think or speak, you're actually applying a creative power? Your choices shape your reality. If you choose to create good, to attract wealth, to establish peace, it's all from that power that you already have, the power of choice. You can actually promote peace in the world through your thoughts, through your words of conciliation, and through constructive action. All true power emanates from the thoughts that you hold in your mind. That's our point of focus, power. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. With us right now, we're excited to have the Director of Vaccine Equity for the Minnesota Department of Health, Dr. Nathan Chomolo. Talk to us specifically to our audience who have youngsters 12 and older, and even who have younger children in their families, about vaccinating these younger people in our community. Help us to feel better about that.
Thanks for asking that, because I think I've heard a lot of kind of bad information about COVID-19 and our children, and, you know, information that says, well, you know, kids don't really get sick from it, that they're so low risk that, you know, why are we vaccinating them? I think there's a number of reasons that I talk about with families in my practice. You know, one is I have seen kids and teenagers who've gotten COVID-19 might have a mild illness, but then continue to have lingering side effects, continue to not be able to do things they like to do, like playing sports and do recreational activities like they were able to before they got ill, months after they got over COVID-19. And so there really is a lot of suffering, even if it's considered mild by some, suffering that children can experience. We're still learning about COVID-19 as a virus and you know what the potential long-term impacts might be if you get infected with it when you're young. And so we have a vaccine that's, you know, really safe, really effective, that can prevent a lot of suffering. You know, there's been over 3 million cases of COVID-19 in children in the U.S., over 15,000 hospitalizations, over 300 deaths. And so it's definitely not benign. And that was with a lot of public health measures like holding kids out of school and distancing and masking and not having sports leagues and other activities running, right? And so as we're starting to return to normal, where these type of activities are seen as more safe because the overall infection rates are dropping, we still know that there's the virus spreading out there and that our kids are not fully protected. And so one of the ways we can help protect those that aren't old enough yet to get the shot is making sure those who are do get their shot. And when we look at the data for the 12 to 15 year olds in particular, that was approved last month, the Pfizer vaccine, the data there was looking at over 2,000 12 to 15 year olds, found that it was highly efficacious, meaning that for this group, 100% of the folks that got the vaccine didn't get sick with COVID-19, let alone get end up in the hospital or worse, right? And so 100% in that study, the most common side effects were ones that parents are really used to with kids getting their routine immunizations, you know, maybe some pain at the injection site, fatigue, headache, chills, fever, and that would last for a day or two. There was no significant side effects like blood clots or serious allergic reactions or things like that noted in the study. And so we have a safe vaccine that's really, really effective and a way to really help protect our kids from the suffering. And then I think it's important as we're thinking about getting back to school later in the summer, getting back to some of these activities like, you know, sports and whatnot, that we're still going to be dealing with a virus that's floating out there. And so a lot of the policies that we've been put in place around, well, if your kid gets sick with symptoms of COVID-19 and they're unvaccinated, they'll likely have to stay out of school longer. They might not be able to play in their sport for a longer period of time if they're not vaccinated. And how does that look for, you know, employment responsibilities and managing everything at home? And so I think there's that piece of it too, that I really hope parents, as they're going through the summer, caregivers, as they're going through the summer, are taking into consideration, and that, you know, vaccination really is what's going to help us all get back to the lives that we enjoyed before COVID-19.
We're talking to Dr. Nathan Chomolo. There's a mom listening right now, doctor, who is saying, why didn't we have this information a year ago? Why weren't children being coming down with the illness the way that older Americans, 65, the narrative was you want to be able to hug your grandparents. Grandparents want to hug each other. Why was that? Why weren't children involved in that narrative just a year ago? And now why the focus on children now?
Well, I'd say there's been a focus on children throughout. I mean, one of the first things I clearly remember is that when we shut down things, schools were shut down right away, right? And kids were sent home and had to muddle through figuring out how to do distance learning or remote learning or virtual learning, whatever you want to call it. And so I think there were a lot of big steps that were taken right away to protect our children from it. I think, like many parts of the response to COVID-19, you know, we were learning as we go, as far as, you know, who was at risk and what were the best ways to protect ourselves and our communities from it. But I really do think that, you know, children were, when it came to exposure to the virus and protecting them from the virus, they were often part of the decisions that were made. And so this is not a real change in that at all. And so I think we continue to learn more and more about the best ways to, you know, protect ourselves and protect our communities. Vaccination has long been thought to going to be key to that, but it is, as you're noting, one of many different ways we can help, you know, keep our community safe, continuing to wash our hands, mask, and distance if we're in really tight quarters, if we're around a lot of unvaccinated individuals, are things that we can continue to do in the meantime. But yeah, I really do think that, you know, the focus on child health has always been there. And then the way any vaccine science rolls out, there is always steps taken to ensure that we really have good data before we start moving it into younger and younger ages. And so that's what we saw here, is that we had data for those who were older or near adult age. And then as we got more and better data to move the age down, that's what we've done. And there's studies going on right now looking down as young as 6 months. Likely the next step of ages will probably be ages 5 to 11 is what the most recent report was, and that's probably not likely until the fall. But you know, that is something we're continuing to look at too.
Final question: with so much needle hesitancy, that's a Freddie Bell term. Why don't we hear as much about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine as we do with Moderna and Pfizer?
And when you say hear as much, are you talking just in general, or I guess talk me a little bit through what you say or talking about when you say hear as much.
Well, when we hear about vaccines and we talk about the two shot, we hear about how effective the one shot is and then how much more effective the two shot is. And the discussion is typically around Moderna and Pfizer. However, we don't hear nearly as much about the effectiveness of the Johnson single shot vaccine. Is that off the table, or is it as effective as the two shot variety?
Oh, I see. Yeah, so you know, there was the pause for Johnson & Johnson because of wanting to evaluate the potential for this side effect of blood clots, and you know that at the time, I think did shift more of the focus to Pfizer and Moderna. The pause was a good example of how, you know, vaccine safety is taken very seriously, and the data was collected and found that the risk, while there is really small, you're actually much more likely to get a blood clot from getting COVID-19 than you are from getting the shot. And so that the benefit of the shot is much higher than the risk of getting COVID-19. So you know, with that, during that time, there was a lot more focus on Pfizer and Moderna. Pfizer has been the first one to get the approval down to age 12, and then Moderna is up next, likely this month, to get approval down to age 12. And so I think then there's been ongoing, you know, conversations about that. And then I think the other thing is, there's been discussions about effectiveness response to the different variants that are out there, mm-hmm. And floating around the world. And we know that a lot of the studies that have been done so far, looking at the effectiveness of these vaccines against different variants, have looked at either Pfizer, mostly Pfizer, or Moderna. Some of that is due to some of the other countries where there are high levels of vaccination, like Israel, with Pfizer. And so that just creates a ability to have a little bit more natural experiments and look at the data that way. So I think it's a combination of things, but the J&J shots remain very effective. You know, we're talking 70-80% for just one shot, and then you're covered. And what I've, you know, told folks before there was more shot availability is, you know, whatever shot you feel you're more likely to complete, you know, that should be the best one for you. Makes at sense. This stage of the game. They're all really effective, and whatever is most likely to get you know completely covered, that's what you should do to help protect yourself and protect your community.
Makes sense. Dr. Chomolo, thank you so much. He's the Director of Vaccine Equity for the Minnesota Department of Health. I can't thank you enough for sharing your time with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Freddie.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful weekend. This is on the precipice of summer, and joining us right now is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement with AARP Minnesota, Jay Hapala. It's getting hot, and you talk a lot about scammers and people who are out after our money. Do they take time off in the summer?
I don't think they take any summer vacations, and it's getting hot out there. And you know what? The scams are heating up too. But these scammers, they're just doing what they always do. They're sitting in their air-conditioned call centers and they're victimizing people here in Minnesota and they're stealing our money. So nothing's new for these scammers.
Jay, I got to pause you right there because you mentioned call centers. Are you saying that this is an organized effort of scamming and trying to take advantage of people? It's not just one individual sitting in their home just trying to reach out and take advantage of people?
Yeah, that's right, Freddie. That was a big eye-opener for me when I started doing this work years ago. These aren't the people who are down on their luck or trying to feed their family or something. This is organized crime. And I don't want to scare everyone out there too much, but these are bad people. And they're victimizing people. You know, sometimes I talk to a lot of people about these scams, and a common reaction when I'm explaining how these scams work is people say, how could that victim be so stupid? Mm. Or I would have never fallen for that trick. And so I don't blame people for reacting that way when they hear about these scams, because it is puzzling. But I've talked to these scam victims for years and studying these issues, and I look at the crimes a different way. I see these criminals who are organized. They know exactly what they're doing. They're experts at the psychological tactics that cause victims to provide personal information and send all their money. And when someone loses that money, that's not where it ends. These victims are going through other trouble when it comes to their well-being and their health, their family relationships. And for older people, they lose their independence when they get victimized in this way. People are just trying to live their lives, and then, you know, a predator comes along, turns their world upside down. And these are real crime victims. They're not just, you know, people who got fooled. They lose a lot of money and they have other problems, and we should be supporting them just like we do other crime victims.
Everybody, we're talking with Jay Hapala. He is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement, and I should say he's a part of the Scam Patrol. But it doesn't matter who you are. I heard you talking at a conference and you mentioned that you have a story about a security guard.
Yeah, that's right. And I do. It's a fallacy to think that people who, you know, have memory loss or maybe they're not as intelligent as the next person, you know, intelligent people, everyone gets victimized by scams just the same. We're all at risk when we have just that moment where we have a lapse in judgment. But that's true. I met this man who was hosting one of our presentations, and he used to work as a prison guard. And he was telling me about, he'd get to know the inmates a little bit. And he met this one who he said was a lot like the other of these white-collar criminals, they say. And he explained that when this convict started his life as a criminal, robbing people on the street, robbing stores, and doing other violence. And then one day he realized he could do the same thing, only easier, by scamming people over on the phone and on the computer and online. He said he'd be ready to be violent if he needed to, but when he's doing these scams over the phone, he didn't need to. Luckily, somehow they caught him and put him behind bars.
Wow. So what's the larger point here, Jay?
Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to explain that people who've been victimized by financial fraud are victims. Someone targeted them, manipulated them, and they were harmed. And it's hard to recover from these scams. It wasn't their fault that they lost this money. So they might need some support from us. They don't need to be judged and be called names or something like that. They need a lot of help. So that's what we're trying to do. You know, we run the Fraud Watch Network, so we collect information. We take all those reports so we can inform people about the scams and stop them before they happen. But also, if people need some help, if they want to get some support, they can call us. And that's at 877-908-5000. 3360.
Wow. I know it seems as if every time we talk, there's a new scam, and I'm hesitant to ask, but I will anyway. Is there a new scam or a new alert that we should be aware of, Jay?
Yeah, what I want to tell people about today, and thanks for that, Freddie, is to watch out for these retail refund scams.
Oh, no.
It was just yesterday I got an email in my inbox that said my new smartphone was being delivered to my house.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is I didn't order one.
Oh, no.
So I read this. It said, you know, there's a shipping, you know, announcement. They want me to know my phone is being shipped. It said, call us if you want to cancel your order. So if I would have called, I would have got mixed up in this scam where they'd explain they're going to give me a refund. And because I'm such an important customer to them, they want to deposit the money right in my bank account. And there's a number of ways that could happen. But one way they might victimize me is by getting me to click on a website. And then they would, by logging into that website, I'm giving them access to my computer. They could see my passwords, make it look like there's money in my bank account, and then convince me to send money back to them. So it's complex. They create these fake websites that look like your bank account, but they're not. So right now, I bet folks out there, they look in their email inbox, they have all these fake notices about shipping and retail sales and iPhones and the next thing people are buying online. Be extra cautious about those kind of notices, especially if you don't expect that something is being shipped to you.
Oh, my goodness. Jay Happel is talking about scams on our show this weekend. And what would be a couple of things that we should keep in mind when we're thinking about scams and ways to protect ourselves, Jay Happel?
Sure thing. I always encourage people just to slow down. Our pace of our lives is so fast. We're, you know, shopping online and doing our work online, trying to get things done. But that's exactly what the scammers need, is for us to be not thinking before we click. So, you know, anyone who's trying to put pressure on you, like you got to act now, whether they're saying you're going to get in trouble or they're saying you're going to get a great deal on something, if you got to act now, that's a big red flag. Take a pause, and I promise you won't be missing out on too much.
All right. Now, if you have questions about whether or not you're facing a fraud or a scam, what's that Fraud Watch telephone number once again, Jay Happela?
That's right. Give us a call, 877-908-3360.
And I was just thinking, I have a producer listening in, and they say, why not just hang up the phone?
Well, you can hang up the phone, that's for sure. But like I was saying before, these scammers, just they are so expert at catching our attention, keeping our attention, and manipulating us to take these steps. So if you can help it and hang up the phone, that's a good thing. You don't have to deal with these people who are calling you on the phone.
All right. Well, Jay, words to the wise. Thank you so much. And if you'd like more information, again, that number is 877-908-3360. Or you can contact the local AARP in Minnesota. Jay, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
All right. And New Beginnings continues right now.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And it's our pleasure to bring you our program this week. And now we turn our attention to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And we have an opportunity to talk with his esteemed property manager, Kitty Harris, and she has some great things to tell us. But first of all, Kitty, if you'll let our listeners know how they can reach you if they like to reach out directly to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
Absolutely. Good morning, Freddie. Always a pleasure to be here with you. The Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is located at 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis, and you can give us a call at 612-344-2221 or visit us on Facebook under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
Kitty, I can hear the excitement in your voice, and I'm hearing this from a lot of different quadrants around our community. As our communities start to reopen, as the vaccines are starting to take hold, and I'm sensing that there are some changes at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, too.
Yes, we are so excited. As the summer months come, it brings new opportunities for us to for things to start to look a little bit normal for us. And so over at the center, as we start to go into the month of June and doing different things, we have hosted several vaccine clinics over the last couple of months to get people vaccinated. And now we're excited. We will be having a Juneteenth program again this year. It'll be on a little bit smaller scale. We've hosted several breast cancer events for the community in partnership with Park Nicolet. And so we're just excited to start having these opportunities for our older adults again in the community. And very soon coming, our Senior Rock group, Alive and Kicking, will be doing a summer concert series where we will have it outside and put some chairs in our parking lot where people can just come and listen to some music and rock out. So we are just excited for the opportunity to start gathering again.
Everyone, we're talking with Kitty Harris, a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And you may not have this stat right off the top of your head. How many people would you say that the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center serves in a given month or even in a year? However you would like to state that.
Well, I would say our post-COVID notes, when we were doing tracking, we were serving over 10,000 individuals in a given year between our monthly bingos, our community events, the programs that the partners on site provide for their patients and their clients that they serve. And so, of course, we've had a dramatic decline in that number, but we're very excited to have all of our service providers up and running at full capacity and being able to step into that role and provide that much-needed health and wellness component for our community.
What does reopening look like for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center? Is it all at one time or is it gradual? Because I know you have a number of collaborative partners.
Yes, so that has been a very interesting conversation when you have so many distinct organizations on site. And so one of the things that we have been focused on is continuing to follow the guidance of the city of Minneapolis, because we're under that guideline, but also following the guidance from the CDC. And so we have slowly started to have events in our great room with a limited number of people. We've been able to host a few things. It kind of have it spread out onto our patio. We've been able to utilize our large parking lot to do that. And so it's really just continuing with our sanitation protocol that we already had in place, but just being mindful that we want to make people as comfortable as possible to gather and also continuing to be a resource for those people who have yet to get vaccinated to let them know that we can still help guide them to get that much-needed service as well.
Kitty, are you still under a vaccination program? Are you still working with the Minnesota Department of Health in providing vaccines for those who need them?
Yes, absolutely. So if someone is still in the community and they are needing information on where to go in the community to get a vaccine, they can certainly give us a call at 612-344-2221, and I will guide them to the necessary resources that are in their area. We know that this will be an ongoing process as things continue to open up. We want to make sure that resource is still available to people, and we are very much still working with the community to provide those vaccine clinics.
As the community opens up, as the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center reopens or opens wider, what are some of the learnings that you've had that you'll continue even though COVID is starting to be in our rearview mirror?
I think the biggest takeaway that we've had, we're so blessed to have such a large facility in our great room to be able to have meetings where we can space people out and utilize technology. So for us, I think the biggest takeaway is reassurance to our clients that we are, whatever we're hosting, we're doing in the safest way possible. When our building was built, it was already built with a lot of green initiatives. When we got the R funding for our facility. So our facility already had a lot of the internal air filtration processes that a lot of buildings did not have. So we were above the curve on that piece. And so we have revamped all of our internal ducts even in that to make sure that we have increased airflow. But mostly it's just about making sure that your clients that come have that reassurance that you are making sure that your COVID protocols are in place so that they can safely gather.
My final question for you this weekend, we're talking with Kitty Harris, the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. How has this whole process changed you, Kitty Harris? I'm just curious.
I think this process has changed me with the type of personality that I have and allowing me to slow down and rethink new ways to engage. our community. And I am also proud of all of our older adults that were able to jump in and learn these new processes. It was an extreme learning curve. And so it was a very humbling experience for me a year later to say, you know, we're finally looking like what we did before and we're able to provide those services. And I get the greatest joy when I come into the building and I see people now. So that lets me know the more people that I get to see as they enter the building, as they're walking the walking track, as they're coming for their doctor's appointments, I know that we've made it on the other side. And it's a very rewarding feeling to see those smiling faces.
Wow. Tell us once again how we can connect with the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
You can give us a call at 612-344-2221, or you can visit us on Facebook under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
That's Kitty Harris, and this is New Beginnings. Thanks for being with us. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Fourth point, John also helped us with that. Live in the moment. Live in the moment and be a great listener. Living in the moment means concentrating on exactly what is happening in your life at that precise time. It demands we remove the baggage and clutter from our lives to be our best in each moment. Please do not stop in my office after service. I don't want you to see my cluttered desk. So much piled up. And we can do that with our life and our presence in the world. People see us cluttered with a lot of stuff and a lot of activity. And it covers up the radiance of the truth of who we are. So live in the moment and be a great listener. Be aware of yourself. And be aware of others when you're in their presence. Fifth point, open-mindedness and fairness to opportunities and to people. Open-mindedness is built on trust, faith, and an acceptance of a call to action in our life to find our purpose. It means we are fair-minded and willing to entertain new thoughts, ideas, and people, and the good that they bring to our life and our world. I want to emphasize that again. Open-mindedness and fairness means that we are fair-minded and willing to entertain, to be present to, new thoughts, new ideas, and to people, and the good that they bring into our life and our world. Well, all of those points I want to kind of melt down to something a little simpler. And I heard it years ago in a motion picture entitled The Help. The author, Catherine Stockett, created a very loving nanny figure to a little girl who was quite timid and had learned from her mother that she was sort of less than, not as good as her mother expected. But her nanny kept reminding her, "You are kind, you are smart, you are important." And she'd get the child to repeat those words. And they would speak them frequently, day after day, week after week. You are kind. You are smart. You are important. So I want us to take a few moments now in inner silence. And I'll make a few suggestions. But But I want you to consider, is there a mask, is there a personality you've projected that you're coming to realize is not showing the truth of who and what you are as God's creation? Well, you can just imagine in your meditation removing the mask you've created, taking off your disguise and saying, I want to be more present in the world, radiating the truth. I believe I am as God's creation. So I invite you to close your eyes for a few moments. And we're going to go to that inner dressing room and sit before that inner mirror with all our collection of makeup, which is really choices. Choices we make about our life. And we want our inner light to shine more fully. So let us hold these affirmations that inspired that little girl to be a stronger individuality. Take that first statement, I am kind. Expand on it as you need to. I am kind to myself. I am kind to my family. I am kind to my community, to my world. I want to express generosity of spirit that comes from my center. I am kind. And ask, Holy Spirit, reveal within me any mask, any covering that I have placed over my kindness. How can I express it more fully, more completely? I am smart. I am smart. From the God source of my wisdom, there is nothing that you do not want me to understand. God, you withhold nothing from me. You are my source of truth and wisdom. I have all I need to be smart in this world, to make good choices. I am important. I am important because I exist as God's creation. And am a channel of spirit to bring forth good, wisdom, and love. I am important. And you may choose to ask, Holy Spirit, reveal any thoughts or ideas I have held about myself that undermine my importance. In what ways do I play small in the world? I want to express your power flowing through me. I am kind. I am smart. I am important. I invite you to practice those statements throughout your week and see if they make a difference to you. Wake you up, and to use Paul's word, stir the presence of God within you. Stir it up into a greater fire and passion to be the best you can be each and every moment, in each and every way, to each and every other person.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.